Thank you. We are continuing our studies on the Spirit-filled life, and we're dealing with this question of what is the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Gifts of the Spirit are not the sign of spirituality. But the evidence of a Spirit-filled life will be the fruit of the Spirit, as found in Galatians chapter 5. And we were dealing in our last lesson with, we will pray in the Spirit. You know, it's rather remarkable that sometimes a pastor or a Sunday school superintendent will say to someone, I wish you would take so-and-so's class. Well, I'm sorry, but I can't. You know, I haven't the gift of teaching. I can't teach. Why would you play the piano? Oh, I don't play well enough to play. Why can you use your car and bring some youngsters to school, to Sunday school? Well, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't be able to do that because I have my own family to take care of. But I tell you what I will do. I'll pray. Boy, I wish you would. I wish you would. It's a funny thing how we'll dodge all kinds of ministry for the Lord, but we will say we will pray. But we don't. That's the trouble. We don't pray. In fact, we don't even know how to pray as we ought. The Spirit of God helps us. And the book of Jude, we are told to pray in the Spirit. We've been discussing this question, that prayer is the only power in the world to which God will yield. Prayer links the believer to omnipotence, and God is looking for men to pray. In fact, God, He wants us to so walk with Him that He will manifest the life of Christ through us. And someone has well said, Satan fears nothing from prayerless studies, from prayerless work, from prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom. But he trembles when we pray. You know, I just feel like repeating that. This is in quotes, by the way. I'm quoting somebody on this. Satan fears nothing from prayerless studies, from prayerless work, from prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom. But he trembles when we pray. You know, when I think of this, and by the way, I feel just as convicted as you do when I'm talking about these things because I know them. I know this is true. This is what God wants in your life and my life. God just craves our fellowship. And when we pray, we are communicating with God in words. God's word, when we read God's word, He communicates to us in words. And Satan hates the word of God, and he hates to see God's people on their knees praying. You know, we all know these things, isn't it true? We all know these things. You've heard them more or less from your pastor, from some teacher. But we don't avail ourselves of this great, mighty, omnipotent power which we can touch by prayer. You know, when I come to the Gospel through Luke, and you know, I'm going to come back to that Gospel. The Gospel through Luke is a wonderful Gospel because it deals with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a man in the midst of men. And yet, you know, though He was the sinless man, God manifest in the flesh, and you know, He spent so much time in prayer. Luke tells us over and over again, He went into the desert to pray. He went into a mountain to pray. He sent His disciples over in the boat on the lake of Gennesaret, and He went alone in a mountain to pray. He's going to choose 12 men to accompany Him. As He's teaching the crowds, the multitudes, and He performs miracles, He needs fellowship, and He's going to choose 12 men to walk with Him, to accompany Him these 3.5 years while He is in His ministry. And He spends the whole night talking to His Father about Him. He spent the whole night in prayer. He needed to be alone with His Father. It's here He can pour out His heart to His Father. And it's here the Father pours out His heart to Him. He is shut in with God. Then He came down the next morning, and He chose 12 men to accompany Him. You know, that convicts me. If Jesus, the sinless Son of God, the perfect man, the one of whom God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," if he saw the tremendous need of spending a night in prayer with his Father, of getting alone with his Father, and believe me, it was not a one-way street. I am sure he talked to his Father, and his Father talked to him. It was reciprocal. What about us? I say, what about us? As a fellow said to me one day, "Mr. Mitchell, you know," he said, "when I pray, I can tell everything that I want to say in 5 minutes." Now he says, "What should I do then?" I said, "Then stay on your knees and take your Bible and read your Bible. Let God talk to you." This is not a one-way street. This is our trouble. You know, if we're in need, we get down and present our need to the Lord and we get off our knees. Once we present our need, we get off our knees, or if you're sitting down, whatever it may be, you say, "Amen," and you don't give the Lord an opportunity of talking to you. I'm talking about a spirit-filled life. Do you give God a chance to talk to you, or do you talk all the time? What would you think if you were walking down the street with somebody and that party did nothing else but chatter and talk all along the way? You didn't even get a chance to get a word in edgeways. How often would you walk with such an one? No, when we go out with somebody or we're with somebody, we talk, both of us talk, or there's a number of you, you all enter into conversation. This is fellowship. My friends, when you come in the presence of God, that's going to take some time. And you talk to the Lord and you let down your hair. Can I use that term? You open up your heart and you pour out your heart upon God. Then just you stay there and open the Word of God and let Him talk to you. I believe when the Lord Jesus went into the mountain and stayed all night in prayer, He talked to His Father and His Father talked to Him. Now, I'm not saying that you should spend all night in prayer. I'm not saying you should go out someplace and spend the whole day in prayer, unless the Lord puts it upon your heart or you want to do that. What I'm trying to get to you is this, that when you pray in the Spirit, you pray in the will of God, that's going to take time, so that you don't dash in and dash out again. You come into the presence of God in worship, in adoration, in reverence. You talk to the Lord. You pour out your heart to the Lord. And then you stay there and communicate with Him and let Him communicate with your heart. And take the Word of God. Always take the Word of God with you when you do it. You know, someone has said this, and I'm quoting this too. "The source of supply for our need is in heaven. The realm of our need is here on earth. But the line of communication is prayer." I'll repeat that. Quote, "The source of supply for our need is in heaven. The realm of our need is here on earth. Or the place of our need is here on earth. But how in the world am I going to connect with my need here on earth and my supply is in heaven?" Well, the line of communication is prayer. "My God," says Philippians 4:19, "my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Communion with Christ is the sequel to our union with Him, and hence the Spirit-filled life is the life of communicating with God. Here we lay hold of supernatural forces and bring them to bear upon our needs here on earth. In other words, it's a matter of cooperating with God in all His purposes and all His counsels. It's communion and cooperation. Why are so many millions of people still unreached? Why do we have so few missionaries, comparatively speaking? It's because we don't cooperate with God and His will. That means we don't pray. As the Lord said in Matthew chapter 9, 37 to 38, you remember He had compassion upon the multitude, for they were as sheep having no shepherd. And He turned to His disciples and said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth laborers into His harvest field. We lack prayer. I tell you, friends, this is what we need today. The source of our supply, for our supply of need, is in heaven. All the riches of glory in Christ Jesus are for you and for me. And the place of our need is right here on earth. And I want to say, friend, you and I have the right to come and touch omnipotence. Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Again, I say, if we are a spirit-filled people, there'll be that joy of anticipation of coming in the presence of the Lord and pouring out our heart before Him. This is praying in the Spirit, praying in the will of God. And you've got the right to touch omnipotence. I say again how often we have robbed ourselves of that which God is so anxious and so yearning to give to us. Touch of omnipotence. And we're living here in a world where we're surrounded by all the forces of the enemy, of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we bemoan ourselves because we can't do anything for the Lord. No. You better come within the presence of God. I'm reminded of dear David when he couldn't understand why the ungodly prospered. Why should they prosper in me, God's king on earth, having so much trouble, so many tests and so many trials? I couldn't understand this until I went within the sanctuary. And then I understood. Then I understood. Christians ask me, why doesn't God do something? With all this suffering and all this war and all this corruption and lawlessness, why doesn't God do something? My friend, I think it's time for you to go within the sanctuary. It's time for you not to sit in judgment on God and say, why doesn't God do something? Did God ever put you on the jury? My friend, you know what you're doing? You're sitting in judgment on a holy, righteous, omnipotent God. Remember, He's righteous. And thank God the day is coming when God will move. And when He moves, He's going to move in righteousness. And I'll tell you very bluntly, I do not want to be on the earth when God moves in His righteousness upon the nations of the earth, upon the world in its ungodliness and worldly lusts. But I tell you one thing, you could come right in the presence of God today and take part and cooperate with God. And this is the spirit for life, a life of cooperating with God in His will, in His purpose. Not some gifts, not some service. That's only the footage of a life lived with God. And I want to read again, and I don't mind repeating, I want to read again these quotations. Prayer is the only power in the world to which God will yield. Prayer links the believer to omnipotence. Satan fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom. But He trembles when we pray. And I say again, the source of all our needs, the supply for our need, is in heaven. And the place of our need is here on earth. And the line of communication is prayer. And communicating with God, communion with Christ, is the sequel to our union with Him. Oh God, grant that you and I will know something of a spirit-filled life, a life lived in the presence of God. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, That might be for you preachers and for you teachers, but for little old me, well, my friend, I'm just talking to little old you. This is what I want. It's what God wants. He wants you to walk with Him. Right where you live, right in your family, in your neighborhood, in your shop, in your store. Don't wish for greener pastures. Don't say, I wish I was someplace else. No, you take yourself with you. And you'll find conditions just the same, whether you go to Southeast Asia or Africa or Central or South America or stay here in this old land, wherever you are. God's put you where you are, and the best place for you to walk with God is right where you are under the circumstances in which you find yourself. He understands. He knows. He cares. The thing He wants is you. He doesn't want your money or your service or your time, though these are necessary, possibly in their place. First of all, He wants you. And when you and I walk with God in His will, we become Spirit-filled Christians. So I repeat it. It's not the spiritual gifts are no sign of spirituality, but the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence, and then we will pray in the Spirit, and then we will become His witnesses, His ambassadors to men, and I'm going to leave that for our next lesson. But may I close with this? Why are there so few missionaries? Why are there so few real servants of the Lord? Because the people of God do not pray. I would put upon you this burden of prayer, to pray the Lord of the harvest that He will thrust forth laborers into His harvest field. There is a harvest to be gathered in, but the laborers are few. And you can cooperate with God in prayer, in intercession, that He will thrust them forth. He will answer your prayer and thrust them forth into the harvest field, which needs to be harvested. And there's not much time left, my friend, to pray, to witness, to give. And we pray the Lord will talk to your heart today, that you will walk with God right where you are under those circumstances. And remember, you can touch the heart of an omnipotent God, and all the treasures of the riches of glory are for you and for me if we will just get down in the presence of God and take the time to pour out our hearts to God. He's compassionate, He's tender, and He loves you. He just loves to have you come to Him. He loves to pour for you to pour upon Him your needs, your cares, your worries. He'll meet your every need. Don't you believe that? Well, you try Him today. You take some time. Just take a little time to get alone with God. Tell Him all about it. Instead of pouring out your cares upon some man or some preacher, pour them upon Him, for He careth for you. And He's the one who can meet your need, because He's omnipotent. And He never leaves you, and He never forsakes you. Now the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.